Well, let us now turn to the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the Book of Numbers and the chapter 35. We turn once again to the Scriptures for our worship, for our praise, for our meditation, for our instruction in righteousness. The Book of Numbers and the chapter 35. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear the word of the Lord. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to truly receive his precious word. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab, by Jordan, near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. And ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle, and for their goods, and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits, and the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither. And to them ye shall add 42 cities. So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs. And the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many, ye shall give many. But from them that have few, ye shall give few. Every one shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance, which he inheriteth. Amen. We end the public reading of God's holy and fallible, inerrant and sacred word there. And may the Lord be pleased to add his blessing to that reading. And may he richly bless our souls this morning as we come under the instruction of his word. May all to be to the glory of his name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls. Well, dear friends, I kindly ask you to turn your prayerful attention once again there to the book of Numbers and the 35th chapter. Those words that I read to you earlier in your hearing, may the Lord be pleased to enable me this morning to minister his word to the glory of his name. Now, just reading again the first few verses of that chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab, by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possessions cities to dwell in. And ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. Now, in our regular systematic expository ministry, going through the book of Numbers, which has been over a very long period of time now, and I trust that we've been greatly helped, and there's always a great benefit, isn't there, through regular systematic expository preaching through the Word of God. We learn so much more. We want to always fit things in context. We want to understand what the Lord has to say to us here in Numbers chapter 35. As we arrive in this chapter, what we have done, we just remind ourselves, once again, we have followed the children of Israel who had been sojourning in Egypt for over 400 years as slaves in that land, as they were persecuted by Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they were slaves not only to them, but they were slaves of sin in idolatry. Many of them followed on in those pagan ways. They were idolaters in that land, but the Lord has brought them out of Egypt. They were afflicted in their chains, but they were also afflicted in sin. God has called them. Remember Genesis, or rather Exodus 19, God has called them to be a holy people. And particularly, the Levites were to be the people who were to lead the others in the way of God, in the instruction of God's word. And they are to receive an inheritance. And we'll think of that this morning. What is their inheritance? But let's just think for a moment how God has led them out of that land of Egypt. Well, the Lord came, didn't he? First of all, by those judgments, by those 10 plagues, and the last one picturing the work of Christ, the lamb that was slain and the blood poured or painted on the doorposts and lintels. They were delivered by the lamb. As the angel of death passed over Egypt, the firstborn of Israel were spared. And thus the Lord led them out, not just the little infant firstborns, but the older men, the middle-aged men, whoever was a firstborn was spared. Picturing our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And then the Lord, didn't he? He led them out by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And then he led them out by manna and from heaven and water from the rock. The Lord showing his mercy to them. These people living in a desert wilderness for over 40 years, and the Lord showing many wonderful signs and wonders to them. A journey, indeed. A journey that really should have only have taken 2 weeks. But it was much longer. 40 years have now passed. 38 years of those 40 years have been spent in wilderness wanderings because of their rebellion, because of their sin at Kadesh Barnea, when they refused to enter into the land, when they refused what God had said. They didn't believe, many of them, that God was able to give them victory in that land. But God will do. God has thus far proved himself to be omnipotent as he completely destroyed Pharaoh and his armies in the Red Sea. And as he has provided for them all of these years, and as he has faithfully been preparing them to enter into the promised land. Now all of this, as the apostle tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, all these things are written for examples to us. The word there is the word tupos, as I mentioned last week. All of these are types, shadows of good things to come. The salvation, it is all picturing the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thought last week of the designation that each of the tribes were to have in that promised land, that they were going to surely get an inheritance. And so it is for all that are in Christ. We have an inheritance, as Peter says, that is undefiled. It is reserved for us in heaven. It shall not fade away. And we shall finally have the consummation of it at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This picture here of Canaan, which they were to enter in, was a picture of the heavenly Canaan, which we shall enter in if we are God's people. And so the Lord has been preparing them. The last chapter, chapter 34, very clear picture there of heaven. We saw some of the similarities or the things that they were pointing toward. Now, as we look here at chapter 35, we're one chapter away from the last chapter of the book. Moses will die very soon on Mount Nebo. It's not recorded in Numbers 35, but it is recorded in Deuteronomy, which expands upon these things further. Moses will die, and then subsequent to that, the people go into the promised land by Joshua, under Joshua, who by now is a very old man. He's well into his 80s. All of that will follow. Now, as I said in the last chapter, we saw what did we see. We saw the Lord gave very clear commandments with respect to the 9 tribes that would receive their inheritance. Because remember, 3 of the tribes, or two of the tribes and a half tribe, have already received their inheritance. Reuben and Gad and a half tribe of Manasseh. But in the previous chapter, 9 of the tribes, as they enter into the promised land, they would receive their inheritance by lot, but also under the hand of Eleazar, the high priest, and under Joshua, and under 12 of the princes of the tribes. We've seen that. And then, as we said, we looked last week at those particular tribes and what they would get. It's a picture of heaven. It really does picture the heavenly Canaan. And furthermore, what did we see? It was definite. The Lord said, I will give thee this. And there were definite boundaries. We saw that there was the east boundary, the south boundary, the west boundary, which was the sea, and the north boundary. And it is so too for heaven, isn't it? God has fixed the bounds of heaven. We read, don't we, in the book of the Revelation, very clear walls surrounding heaven and the Jerusalem which is in the midst, being his people. God has set the bounds. There is a determinate number of people who shall be saved. God has fixed that number from eternity past, all that shall be saved. It's all by his decree. And we also saw last week that it was a small land in comparison to the other nations like Babylon and Assyria and all these other nations. And they were not to conquer further lands. They were not to be like the rest of the nations. They were to be content with what God was giving them. And as we said, we are to be content with the heaven that God has spoken. And we're not to imagine or to have low views of heaven. We must believe with all of our hearts that it will be commensurate with a gracious God and a good God. We must believe that. We mustn't be like some Christians who get all down about heaven. They imagine what it might be like and might not be like. Paul was forbade to speak of the things that had been revealed to him. And we must be sure of this. Heaven is going to be wonderful. Far better than we ever imagined. No eye has seen, nor ear heard the things which God has prepared for them which love him. And so the last chapter spoke of the borders of the land that they were going to inherit and the contentment that they were going to have or to have. Their contentment, you see, was to be in God. And as we thought of that land, the promised land, although it was very small, it was rich. Rich in the mercy of God and the blessings of God. And that's how it's going to be for God's people in heaven. It's going to be eternally rich and a blessing for us. Praise God for that. We thank the Lord for that mercy. Now, as we think upon those tribes, we said that the 9 tribes would receive their inheritance. Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh, well, they've already been told what theirs is. It's on this side of the Jordan. But there seems to be one tribe that is left out at this point. And that is the tribe of Levi. Is that because God has forgotten them? No. It's not because God has forgotten them. It's because God has something very different to them. Very different for them. The Lord will be their portion. The portion of their inheritance, though, will come from the tithes, as we'll see, of the people of Israel. They're going to be dispersed into 48 cities around Israel, as we've read. And their portion will come from the people who give to the Lord. Thus, the Lord, the portion they give to the Lord will be their inheritance. And so we'll think of that this morning. How they were to be supported. They were not to be neglected. They were to be set apart for the special duty to serve God, to minister the people, for the spiritual well-being of the people and for the glory of God. And so we, by God's help, will see these things this morning. Now from verses 1 to 8, there are very two main emphases being made. And you'll see firstly in the verses 1 to 5, what we find here is in provision God, how he orders here provision to be made for the Levites, how they would be supported by the people. That's the verses 1 to 5. And then secondly, we'll then concentrate in the verses 6 to the verse 8 about the meaning of the dispersion. Why were the Levites to be dispersed amongst 48 cities throughout this promised land which they were going to inherit? Now, let's just think for a moment before we go any further this morning. Do you remember Levi and Simeon? Well, they slew a man in a place of Shechem, the city of Shechem, in Shechem. And because of that, in Genesis 49, the verse 7, the Lord had said with regard to that, that Levi and Simeon would be scattered throughout the land. You remember that? We read, I will scatter them in Israel. Now, that was a curse upon them both. They would suffer as tribes for that. But what would happen, although Simeon would be scattered and Levi would be scattered, in terms of Levi, God would turn that curse into a blessing, but not so for Simeon. And that's what we will see this morning with God's help. How God turns what was a curse upon Levi into a blessing. And that is true for all of God's people who are in Christ Jesus. And I mentioned last week that it's true in one sense that if we are in Christ, as we read from Revelation chapter 1, because of what Christ has done for every believer, we are kings and priests forever. He has washed us in his blood and made us kings and priests forever. But in another sense, we mustn't miss this, and a lot of people miss this, is that the Levites, and they were the ministers, they were the pastors, as we'll see from Scripture, throughout the land of Israel, to be a blessing for the people. And so there are two aspects. In one sense, every Christian has the Lord is our portion. We mustn't lose sight of that. Heaven is our portion. But there is the other aspect in what those who give to the Lord as God's people, what they receive, particularly the Levites and Christian ministers, the Lord is our portion. What people give to the Lord is our portion. That is how they were provided. And that's what we'll see, God willing, from Scripture today. And that's very important. Now, when they go into these cities, as we have read, they are not to make money. As they are dispersed throughout these 48 cities, they are not to grow crops. They may have a little bit of land where they can keep some cattle on just to have milk. But they are not to earn a living out of having that cattle, their cattle. Not at all. They're not to be involved and entangled with the affairs of this world. They may have some livestock, as I say, for milk. There'll be times, sadly, when people don't give their tithes and the Levites will suffer. But God makes provision. And we'll see that with the Lord's help this morning, they were to live and they were to minister among the people of those 48 cities. And they would be supported by the people in those cities. Now you remember from our earlier studies in Numbers chapter 18, God gave very clear instructions. He gave very clear commandments with respect to the support of the Levites, how the people had to tithe, how they had to be properly provided for by the people of Israel. Well, Matthew Henry says something very helpful with regards to this passage. He says, the number allotted them was 48 in all. 4 out of each of the 12 tribes, one with another. Out of the united tribes of Simeon and Judah, 9. Out of Naphtali, 3, and 4 apiece out of the rest, as appears. Thus they were blessed with a good ministry, and that ministry with a comfortable maintenance, not only in tithes, but in glebe lands. And though the gospel is not so particular as the law was in this matter, yet it expressly provides that he that is taught in the word should communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Galatians 6 and the verse 6, as we look at this morning. So the Lord is providing all these cities here for the Levites to live in. You notice in the early verses there, a certain amount of land was allotted to them to dwell in, not to earn money in there, but to keep a small amount of cattle and so on, because they were not to be a people entangled with the affairs of this life, but they were to minister. Why? So that the truth of God's word would be diffused throughout Israel. And that's very important. The truth of God's word is absolutely vital. In Deuteronomy 33 and the verse 10, notice there with me, it's a very helpful reminder. And remember, these things in Deuteronomy are written at the same time Moses is with the people in the plains of Moab. And we read this about the Levites. Deuteronomy 33:10, they shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. Now it's a great mercy, my dear friends, to any country, isn't it, to have the truth of God's word preached in that country. It's a great mercy to have men who study the word of God and who show themselves approved. Men who are set apart for the full-time ministry of the gospel, to study, to dedicate themselves to the study and the exposition of God's word. That is a great blessing upon a nation. And there is a great need for faithful ministers. You notice in the verse 2, they were given their 48 cities, and cities were allotted with them with the suburbs in which they could live, just outside. But again, they were not to till the land, they were not to sow, they were not to reap, they were not to gather into barns. Why? Because their heavenly Father would provide them by the increase of other people's labors. This is scripture. This is what the Bible very so clearly teaches from cover to cover. And we'll see this in the New Testament. And so you notice in the verses 1 to 5, the Lord here orders for provision to be made for these people throughout 48 cities, throughout the land. And you notice, it's amazing as we look at the verse 1, the first city that is mentioned, there's a city that's mentioned here, and it's the city Jericho. Now we know what happened. It's the first city that will be overcome, won't it? Remember who is there in that city? Rahab the harlot. And remember how now we've got good spies going in, don't we? As opposed to what happened back in the days of Kadesh Barnea, when the 10 bad spies, the unfaithful ones, but faithful spies would go in, and there's a believer there. The Lord's already preparing the way through Rahab the harlot. And we know what happened as the people marched around the city. The walls fell down. a miraculous way in which God gave that city to his people. And so we have this there concerning Jericho. Now, I mentioned earlier on that the Lord has already spoken. If you turn to Numbers chapter 18, the Lord has already spoken with respect to how the Levites were to be provided. Numbers 18, the verse 20, we read, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth," notice there, "in Israel, for an inheritance." This has to do with the tithes. "For their service which they shall serve." So in respect to how they serve, they shall get a tenth. "Even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance." Now notice, "But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit." Do you see that there? So it is said here that God's inheritance, or what God is due by these offerings, by these tithes, were given, firstly, to the Lord, are given to the Levites. So those tithes were in turn given to the Levites. So in that sense, the Lord is their possession, because what is due to the Lord goes to who? To the Levites. So that is very important for us to understand why we give our tithes. And we will see it even overflowing into the New Testament. And so really, what they received was the Lord's portion. Do you see that? Now, it's the same today in the New Testament. If you turn for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you notice here that the Apostle Paul here, he applies this very truth to gospel ministers today. Now, I'm sure you will understand that I'm not preaching this text out of nowhere. We are simply going through the book of Numbers. And that's one of the benefits of systematic expository ministry. 1 Corinthians 9, you see what the Apostle Paul says here. 1 Corinthians 9:13, "Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things," and here Paul's writing to New Testament believers, by the way, "do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar?" Now notice how he applies it. "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." It's a very clear New Testament commandment, isn't it? It's unmistakable. So how are gospel ministers to live today? In the same way, by the tithes of the people. Ministers who preach the word of God and who benefit others by that ministry ought to be supported by their own congregations, by those who benefit from the ministry. Just as those who were involved in the priestly service were supported, it's the same way. Nothing has changed in God's word. It is all the same. Tithes have not changed. The minister's portion is the Lord's portion. What we give to the Lord, and ultimately we are his ambassadors, aren't we? It's interesting, you know, when we turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews, which Paul gives, and he writes about Melchizedek and how Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. When we think about Melchizedek, he is a picture of Christ, wasn't he? And what was he doing? He was honoring Christ by the ministry of Christ. We thought just recently at the Lord's table, of how he came with the bread and the wine, how he was representing Christ. And in the same way, that's as he went out to meet Abraham after the battle, he was representing Christ. And in the same manner, the Apostle Paul says, the minister of Christ who preaches Christ and represents Christ in terms of preaching the gospel ought to be honored. It's an important work. So priests, the Levites had a unique ministry. But it's the same for the ministry today in the New Testament. And it's a blessed thing if this can be done. But it's a curse, you know, it's a terrible thing if it's not done. It's actually disobedience to God. This is a precious ministry for souls, and it ought to be honored. These are not my words, these are not my thoughts. This is clearly what God is saying. But it's a very sad fact, isn't it, that today many either have such a low view of the ministry, and I believe so many do have a low view of the ministry. They think, you know, the pastor, he just gets in his study and writes a few notes on a bit of cardboard on an empty packet and he comes to the pulpit. No, it's a studied ministry, and we believe that, don't we? We believe in the importance of a prayerful and a studied ministry. But so many have such a low view of the ministry so that they either neglect to give the support for the ministry, or they just don't think it's worthy. But the Lord thinks it's worthy. The Lord thinks it's worthy. Some so foolishly, sadly, fail to pay their tithes. I'm sure that there are many ministers right now who are preaching in front of cameras across the world. I wonder how many churches and Christians are paying their tithes while their pastors are laboring away. The conversations, I can tell you, I've had. It's a sad day, dear friends. It's a very sad day. God has a very clear commandment here. And there is a warning in Scripture. Very clear warning. If you just turn with me in Galatians 6 and the verse 6. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the Galatians. Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate or give, that's the Greek word, unto him that teacheth in all good things. And now notice the connection he makes. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Think of it, the minister today, he studies the Word of God. And I'm not condemning internet ministry. I think there's a great benefit of it. But there are some who don't belong to churches and they don't give any tithes. They don't give any support. They're living almost as parasites of churches and ministers, and that's not right, is it? That's wrong. And God says very clearly, be careful. What you sow, you will reap. It's within this respect. So when should we give? Well, there are very clear commandments. 1 Corinthians 6, we're told, 16 rather, verse 2, on the first day of the week. As they gathered together, Paul instructed the church, take up a collection, every one of you, as God hath prospered him. So that's the New Testament teaching, isn't it? And it follows in line, doesn't it, with all that we are learning here in the book of Numbers. God would have his ministers dispersed in the 48 cities so that the truth may be diffused throughout Israel. And the people must not fail to neglect to give their offerings. And sadly, that is what happened in many a case. And that is why the nation plummeted into spiritual dearth. Or would we value the ministry? You know, very sadly, there's some very bad attitudes in this whole business. Some people think this way, well, you know, so-and-so he tent makes, and so you should do so. Well, that's not the way that the scripture wants us to think. When we talk about tent making, you know, they speak about Paul, how he earned a living. But Paul, did he not even say, do we not have a right? We have a right to these things. That sort of thinking, my dear friends, is unbiblical. And God says, what you sow, you shall reap. But the second part I want us to think about now is why. And, you know, we're not going to really appreciate this unless we really see what the purpose in all of this is. Verses 6 to the verse 8. We notice there's a Levitical dispersion. The Levites were dispersed. And remember, this at first was a curse, wasn't it? This was a curse because of Levi's sin in slaying that man. Remember, Dinah was raped, their sister, and they slew that young man, prince of the city. But here now they are being dispersed throughout the cities of the land. And you wonder, how did this actually work? What did they do in these cities? Well, you know, this is the beginning of the synagogues throughout Israel. There were synagogues. Remember, as it was Paul's custom and the Lord Jesus Christ's custom to go to those little synagogues. There were little synagogues all over the place. And this is the main function of the Levites. There were those, yes, that dwelt in Jerusalem and they ministered in the temple. Many of them gave or were involved in the sacrificial ceremonial observances there in Jerusalem. But these others in these 48 cities, many of them, I'm going to show you now, were actually called pastors. If you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah and the chapter 2 and the verse 8. Jeremiah 2 and the verse 8. Not only did you have the priests, but you also had the pastors. Jeremiah 2, 8. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And this is obviously an indictment. In these days, you've got to remember that the priesthood and those who were spiritually leading the nation were falling themselves. And a lot of it was, we can't blame them all, but because of the state of the nation. Hardly being supported, little respect for God's word, little value of God's word, Jeremiah's day. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. Now notice, the pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. And if you just turn over to the next chapter, chapter 3 and the verse 14. And notice what the Lord says to his people if they turn from their backslidings. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart. You see how the Lord says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart. Who were these pastors? They were these who shepherded the people. They were those who taught the law. Let me give you an example. What sort of things did they do? For example, if there was an outbreak of leprosy in a particular city, you didn't have to go all the way to Jerusalem. But in Deuteronomy 24, in the verse 8, we read how Moses here, he instructs the people before they go into the land, and he says, take heed in the plague of leprosy. Deuteronomy 24 and the verse 8. Take heed in the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently. Now notice, and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. So, if you wanted to be helped, if there was leprosy, you could go to the local Levites in that city and get instruction. How to obey God. How to seek His favor. Notice, as I commanded them, so shall ye observe to do. And that's why it's so important, isn't it, to have a local church that we belong to. And those we submit to, as Paul says in Hebrews 13, submit to those who rule over you, and so on. And that was their duty, to pastor the people, to shepherd them, to guide them, to teach them the law of God. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, when the people were restored back to the land, and there was great rejoicing, it was the Levites that preached the word. When Nehemiah gathered them together, there was a great convocation, there was a great preaching of the word. And that was the work that they were to do. They were to be involved in preaching the word of God. Now we read, don't we, in Elisha's day, the school of the prophets. The word prophet can mean preach. They were preachers. That's mainly what they did. They expounded the law of God. They preached the truth. What did they preach? They preached in those cities. What a wonderful thing that was. The 48 cities throughout Israel. Well, they would have preached about God's creation. They would have preached about the fall. They would have, of course, they're preaching from the law. They would have preached about Adam's fall with Eve. They would have preached about the promises made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. They would have preached about how that sacrifice of Isaac pointed to God's mercy. They would have preached all these. They would have preached about the flood. They would have preached about the Exodus. They would have preached about the Savior to come. They would have preached all of these truths. They would have taught the meaning of the sacrifices. They would have taught these things. And what a blessing that was, as the truth was suffused throughout the land of Israel. But failure to keep up these men in what was their God-given duty and responsibility would have been a curse upon the land. A real curse. And, you know, when we think of the New Testament, it's no different. The Apostle Paul and the others, they went out. Think of Philip. As he went out, the Lord sent him out into the middle of the desert there. And there was the Ethiopian eunuch. And what did he do? He expounded the things there in Isaiah 53 concerning Christ. Who is this? He explained it to him. The Lord still has his ministers. It's no different today, friends. No different at all. The ministry of the word is to be like that. We are to preach Christ. We are to preach the word of God. You know, there is that saying in Matthew 13, 57, which is so often misquoted and misunderstood, where it says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country, in his own house. And he did many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. A prophet is not without honor. Again, the word prophet can mean preacher. These Levites were preaching, but you know what? Because they lived in those places and because they were very familiar to the people, they were not with honor. And it's the old saying, isn't it? Familiarity breeds contempt. And it leads to taking for granted along the way as well. Doesn't it? That's the true saying. That's the meaning. But God has given ministers, hasn't he? We read in Ephesians 4, why has God provided? When he led captivity captive, we're told by Paul there, he gave gifts unto men. Some he called to be pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, for our blessing. That's why God has set us apart. And you think about it, Christ gave these Levites in love. He's given his truth in love. But the Lord knows and that men must be set apart to expound the scriptures. It's a glorious ministry. Paul says we have this truth in earthen vessels, that the glory and the excellency might be of God. Well, we're nothing really, are we? But God has set us apart. What a Levi. They were by nature cursed, so are we. But set apart by the grace of God to preach Christ. And friends, so I hope we see the importance of ministry. You see the importance here? How was Israel going to know the truth? You know, so many people have this idea that all the teaching was done in Jerusalem. That's not so, is it? But throughout the cities, throughout, and God is pleased to disperse his ministers throughout the lands, throughout the world, and they should and must be supported. What's the greatest famine a country can experience? I tell you, it's the famine of his word. It's a dearth. And I feel that there are so many that have little respect for the ministry. Little thought, they underplay it. But there'll come a day, you know, if you think we're just in our studies for 5 minutes, a few hours, and we don't wrestle and we don't labor over what we've got to, the Lord wants us to say, we are ambassadors of Christ, and we shall have to give an account of our ministry. As the Apostle Paul says, for some it will be wood, hay, and stubble, and it will be burnt in that final day. And the greatest famine we can have, dear friends, is a famine of the Word of God. We find this in Amos 8 and the verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. It's the greatest judgment the church can have. It's the greatest judgment that a nation can have. And then it's Ichabod. The Lord has departed. You know, you might have people stand up and say, I'm going to preach in the name of God, but they don't. We have preachers galore. We have men standing up in pulpits who should not be there, who don't fear God, who fear men, who change the word of God, who are afraid. It's not an easy text to preach from, but I must preach it for the good of your soul, for the benefit of this church. And it is to be attended upon not only by me with great diligence, but by you. We are workers together in this, all of us. And the word of God is to be faithfully ministered because it is the most precious commodity in all the world. What's the most precious commodity? It's God's word, isn't it? It's the word by which we are born again. It's the word which the Lord gave Israel to give to the world. They were to be a light to the Gentiles. Think of it, how God turned a curse into a blessing. Levi's curse. God always does this, doesn't he? That's the gospel. You think of this, the gospel. It's always the way of God. Back what happened in Eden. That curse that fell upon Adam and Eve. Why did God decree the fall? My friends, God decreed the fall. He's decreed everything. Why did he decree it? So that God will show that he is the God of mercy. And that actually people would be better off. You think about it, we wouldn't know about God's mercy. We wouldn't know about his grace were it not of the fall. We wouldn't. What God is saying really is, I'm going to bring something, even despite Levi's sin, I'm going to bring about something wonderful. Something wonderful, truly wonderful. God is always pleased to give eternal blessings through his power and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the cross, for example. What was a curse? It seemed to be a curse. Cursed is a man that hangeth upon a tree. And what men did for Christ turned out to be the greatest blessing. What men meant for evil, God will use for good. And what some people may even have real problem in giving tithes. Why should I give? They struggle with it. Well, think about what God has given you. But think of how you can be blessed through ministry, faithful ministry, if you seek to support it in the right way. How good God is. How good he was to Israel when they did what he said they should do. And so, you know, if we really treasure God's word and God's preaching, we should support the gospel ministry. And we should encourage one another. And ultimately, you must remember, there's nothing in me really that can affect any good. This truth is in an earthen vessel, that the glory and the excellency might be of God and not of men. Maybe sometimes you lament when I pray and I say I'm but a poor worm and a sinner, but I really feel that. Really I do. And I need your prayers above all. Prayers for the ministry. Why? To represent Christ, who is glorious, who left heaven's throne for us to preach the glorious gospel of salvation, of saving grace. We have nothing in which to boast in. Remember what Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything else but the cross of our Lord Jesus. And that ought to be the sum and substance of all of our preaching. It must culminate in leading us to Christ, the one who's going to give us the heavenly Canaan, the one that's going to give us glory. There'll be no need of preaching then. There'll be praising all you like. No more preaching in heaven. We'll see him with our eyes. We'll praise him forevermore. And we will give him the glory and cast our crowns before him. But we must hear the word. May God not visit us with a dearth of a famine of the word in this church or in this land. But may God give us rich blessings in these days in which we live. So may we honor him, and may he do our souls much good. They that honor the Lord shall be honored and shall be blessed. Amen.